This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Devin Nunes, the CEO, the guru of Truth Social, a social platform, social media platform that practices the First Amendment. Nothing particularly exciting about that. The First Amendment has been around for several hundred years. Except, Devin, I learned in a podcast that Matt Taibbi made with his friend Mr. Kern in these last hours of the Twitter files now coming to something called the Virality Project, as in virus, as in going viral on the internet. Virality Project. The best I understood, and I didn't take notes, but I listened to them talk about it for more than an hour. They discovered this in the Twitter files, and Matt Taibbi hired some researchers to help him because he's got hundreds of thousands, millions of messages. The Virality Project was under the control of NGOs, the Atlantic Council's mention, sympathetic voices to the status quo. And it was originally understood to be a project that was going to deal with misinformation, disinformation about the virus. But it also became useful to use it about the election of 2020. And I don't want to go into too much detail other than to say the Virality Project would sweep social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, for heaven's sake, and would find postings that it considered unacceptable on the basis of certain key words, such as vaccine, to give an example, or stolen election, something like that, or voter fraud, or registration, or keywords that are pretty obvious. You can see them in the rhetoric of the 2020 election or the pandemic, and it would then package up those postings and send them to all the social media, not you because you didn't exist, and it wouldn't tell them what to do. It would say, we're worried about these people. And so Facebook and Microsoft with LinkedIn and Twitter would make a decision. Invariably, let's cut them off. Sometimes it wasn't even the content of the message. It was the person who retweeted it. The famous example that Mr. Taibbi used again and again was Robert Kennedy Jr., who's an outspoken critic of vaccines. If there was a document that suggested there was an adverse effect from a vaccine that Mr. Kennedy retweeted, cut the person off. Not about lies, about a fact reported. This person got the shot and the next day this happened. So what I'm learning is that what Elon Musk interrupted with his purchase of Twitter was an operation at the scale of 1984. The saving grace here is that they were clumsy. There were inexact decisions made. Kind of shooting from the hip always. There were no medical or scientific voices attached to this. These are algorithms or operators who were hired by NGOs. And then they moved on to the re-election to use the same technique. I tell all this story not because we're going to do anything about it, but because I believe that you've never received an email from the Virality Project suggesting you cut off certain number of posts on Truth Social. Is that correct, Evan?
That's correct, John. But you know that a lot of these same groups, these so-called independent fact-checker groups, have been attacking Truth Social through these random reports that don't seem, that basically attack our users as disinformation, misinformation, essentially whatever doesn't toe the left-wing party narrative. So you see a lot of those reports since, we started beta testing roughly a year ago. We finally got on the Play Store in October of last year. So, here we've been barely fully open for 5 or 6 months now. And they haven't spared us in terms of their attacks on our platforms, on our users, because we don't censor for political speech. So you can come on our platform, and if you don't like the vaccine, or you don't like President Trump, or you love President Trump, we don't censor, and we're not listening to any government agency that tells us to censor. we that's simply just not our mission. And we also, I think more importantly, we don't use algorithms in our main feed. So our main feed is just a timeline. So it's very, very, it's very, very simple that to basically maintain that authenticity of your feed. It's just whoever you want to follow, you follow, and it goes in the time and the order that a post was made. That's not what you see with these other, you know, mega platforms. And so it's, you know, look, this is, although it is, like you said, it's, you know, Orwellian 1984, where they've been willing to, they authorize DHS, you know, through, oh yeah, we're going to make sure we protect the infrastructure. And it quickly got just hijacked by the bureaucracy that works for the left in this country. And it just turned into a way to target people that, that they don't like, that they disagree with their politics. And that's what you've seen, you know, happen here. You know, started in 17, John. I mean, it started in 17 after the 16 election, when Donald Trump successfully used Facebook and Twitter to move around the fake news, news media, and win an election. That was when Obama, his whole team, Zuckerberg, et cetera, decided this was never going to happen again. And they just started censoring people left and right. And, you know, as you know, I wrote about this in 2020 and sadly predicted it. It's the reason that it was way worse than I ever thought it was going to be. But it's the reason that I first, you know, I was being shadow banned on the other platform. So I went to Parler. Then I went and found a company to put my videos on. The company was named Rumble. And now you've got, you know, I think we know the history of Parler, which when I wrote that book in 2020, I didn't think they would completely destroy a company by the 30 biggest companies in this country, tech companies, essentially cut off Parler from any services, most notably Amazon Web Services, who took their servers away from Parler. And it's why Donald Trump, you know, that he gets kicked off along with millions of other Americans. It's why Donald Trump had no other option but to go create True Social. And that's why we work closely with Rumble, because we are a totally enclosed system where Bezos and company, or Bill Gates, they can't cut us off, and nor can the federal government.
Devin, I want to ask a question of you as a veteran of Congress, as a chair of Congress, of someone who is very familiar with the congressional process and how people think when they're in Washington about protecting the rights of Americans and the Constitution. Walter Kern and Matt Taibbi, I can't quote them, but I can generalize a question that came up late in their conversation, because they were both shocked by this. You know, they're tough, cynical, veteran reporters. They understand that things can go awry in a newsroom, and sometimes newspapers destroy themselves by making poor decisions over time, not immediately. But they asked this question. Do the people who practice, we call it censorship, they call it, you know, blocking disinformation, do they appreciate the fact that the more they block and the more they proscribe and the more they ban, the American people trust them less and less? And the American people then come to a place where they're alienated from the news at all. What you call fake news is a version of that. You don't trust what you're reading, because in the past, they've participated in the banning, the prescribing, the censoring, the castigating, the shaming of people you knew who were giving the best information they had at the time. One more example. In Britain now, let's get out of the United States and let's get away from our culture wars and let's talk about Great Britain. The Tory party has been in charge of the British government for 12 years. It's all powerful in the parliament. They overwhelm the numbers of Labour. They really don't have any challenge other than internally. During the pandemic, we learn now from their health minister, his name was Hancock, and he released all of his WhatsApp messages to a biographer. And in working through the biography, the person, the journalist who was working, released them to the Daily Telegraph. So we're reading. Hancock didn't think through what we were going to learn. How he conducted himself and how the parliament, how the cabinet conducted itself in the pandemic. There was no science. They didn't have any science to support the lockdowns. not the first version nor the second version. Nothing. They weren't quite making it up. They were agreeing among themselves that it was the best thing to do, although they couldn't justify it. And now, years later, there's evidence coming forward in the London papers. I'm getting away from our culture wars, saying that the lockdown killed and damaged far more people than the pandemic ever did. And we know that they use social media to shut people down, to shame them, to censor them. And we don't know that about here. We haven't had that study yet. But the question again to you as a veteran of Congress, does Congress realize that the more our news is censored, the more alienated we are and the less likely it is for us to believe the news or believe Congress? Why should we believe Congress if it's being presented in the news as the truth?
Well, John, I think this is just a disturbing trend that's been going on, you know, now for a while, for a very long time. You know, you can go back that people began to realize how slanted the newsrooms were, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, really, John, with how you started your career through talk radio. Radio was the first one to really point out how ludicrous the major newspapers in the country were that really drove the news. At the time, you know, there were maybe, you know, 10 or 12 newspaper rooms around the country that drove the narratives. And it was talk radio that kind of called them out on that. Then you had the advent of cable television. CNN came around, and then you had Roger Ailes, who came up with the concept of, hey, we're going to be center. Roger Ailes, who started up Fox, Fox News, that is. And he came around and said, look, we're going to be fair and balanced. And then Fox News became a dominant news organization, and still is. Often nights getting more views. You know, it's normally one of the number one cable shows on all of cable. Now that kind of changed into social media, where people began watching the news, listening to podcasts. John, something that you were a forefront on, really, where you took your radio show and then started making podcasts out of it. You were one of the first to do that. And now people are, you know, podcasts have become, bigger in many ways than talk radio. But every podcast that gets made and every social media post that gets made, it takes away from the traditional newsrooms, old school newspapers, along with now even cable television. So then fast forward, then the social media companies succumb to the far left pressure, because the, you know, left wing and trained Marxists know you have to control the propaganda. And so every time they squeeze, they shut people off for a period of time, but then people leak out. And what it appears is they become more and more and more brazen, is really the only term I can use. The left in this country have just become very, very brazen in what they're willing to do. And I think that's why you see it manifest itself in, you know, crazy indictments. You know, I think Donald Trump has been under, you know, constant investigation by his own government since he came down the escalators in 2015 with Melania, when nobody gave him a chance. Yet, you know, the FBI, DOJ worked with the Clinton campaign, as you well know, you documented over the years, and started spying on him. Ultimately, it turned into a special counsel. And, you know, now you've got, the Manhattan DA. So, you know, there's nothing that they won't do. And I think the challenge, you asked me, is coming back full circle to your question about Congress, is the Republicans only control the House of Representatives. And what I constantly have to talk to my colleagues about is, look, guys, if you think it's really bad, it's not nearly as bad as it actually is and is going to be. Until they are stopped, until the Marxists in this country are stopped, they're going to continue to push and push and push and push the envelope. Now, look, when you push it a little bit, then you have, or, you know, you push it a little bit, you censor on social media. You know, a guy like Donald Trump says, look, if you're going to kick me off, I'm going to go start my own company. Boom. Right. And it changes the tectonic plates. Elon Musk comes in, says, I'm the richest guy in the world. If you guys don't want to change, I don't care. I'm going to write the check at any cost, $44 billion. And he buys Twitter. And now you've got guys like Matt Taibbi that are exposing this. And so Twitter is not, although not perfect, and also not as big as what everybody thinks it is. I think what Twitter does have is that it is the PR wire, essentially, the old, you can almost call it the AP wire for the internet globally. It's how people get information out quickly. It doesn't have the users that they say it has, but it is good for putting a statement out or PR wire. Just the fact that Musk is exposing this is doing, I think, the world a lot of great things, as is, you know, just like True Social, just like Rumble. All of us out there, we're giving people a home. We're basically standing in the breach, giving people a home that they can come to and talk about vaccines, talk about politics, talk about what they think is right or wrong. And, you know, that's so no matter how hard they push, ultimately the truth will come out. The question is how much damage will they do along the way? That's really the key here. Ultimately, people will want freedom. The question is how many people get hurt along the way towards that march to freedom? And I think what we saw, we talked about it last week. I know this isn't your question, but you know, we saw how the richest, most powerfully connected left wingers in the country that all banked at Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic, Signature, places that kicked people like Donald Trump out. They went totally woke. They made a bunch of stupid loans. They were in the wine industry funding. We didn't know this last week, John. Funding Gavin Newsom's
three wineries. We were asking about you. I was asking you about vineyards. I should have been asking the governor. What about it?
Right. So look, you know, that all comes out. Now the government has to go bail them out. I think people see that as, wow, here we are 2008 again. But instead of like all these people having homes that were underwater, now you see the billionaires have all been bailed out that are all connected to the left.
Right.
So just more ramifications to come. And ultimately, what does that do? That hurts. It hurts the small guy. It hurts the little guy. It hurts the guy that's going to, you know, that's working at the local cafe, been working there for 20 years. Guy shows up to work every day, still rents his home, trying to get ahead. Guys like that are the ones that are getting screwed by this Marxism. And of course, to your lockdown point, a lot of people died because of these Marxist qualities. People wanted total control, whether it be Fauci or your local hospital or the drug companies or whatever. They were hell or high water. Take this vaccine. When a lot of people were rightfully saying, hey, you know, this hasn't been tested. You know, this hasn't been fully tested. And now you're starting to see there is credible evidence out there that, hey, these vaccines maybe weren't for everybody. There's still more to come on that. But I mean, John, they were threatening even, I mean, it got so bad as podcasters that if you talked about ivermectin, John, or if you would have said, how many of your, you know, kind of fellow colleagues that are in the podcast sphere got banned or booted from their video podcasts from YouTube? Countless, probably hundreds, if not thousands of people were booted off that platform. I mean, remember Dan Bongino, I think he was one of your former colleagues at WABC back in the day. I think he had a show on there, or at least was a frequent guest. Dan Bongino, I mean, he was banned from YouTube, for God's sakes. And I mean, this is one of the, I mean, arguably Dan Bongino's probably got the third or fourth largest conservative podcast in the country. The guy was completely banned from YouTube. And look, for every Dan Bongino that people know, how many people are out there that are the smaller podcasters that have been completely banished? I mean, I talk to him all the time, John. I do these small to medium-sized podcasts that they were banned from YouTube. I mean, I do it every week, at least one or two of them. I mean, it's simply amazing. And that's so ultimately, John, there's been a lot of damage that's been done here. More damage is going to be done, but ultimately free speech will win out on the end.
Yes, actually, what I've learned is that the First Amendment is the easiest thing because you don't have to remember what you said. You just repeat it. You repeat what you believe. And if it's factual, you trust the audience to know it. And Devin Nunes, First Amendment practice at Truth Social. There's the ad, Devin. There it is. unlike our competition. And Musk is trying, but he's distracted these days. There are other things going on. Devin Nunes of Truth Social. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.